Happy Thanksgiving, and if you're not eating all day, you're not celebrating this holiday right.
Wait, time out. Time out. Come on, y'all. Come on.
Ray Ray is fundamental, okay. Number one podcast from the get-go. Yeah. And since you're listening, you got good sense, so let me break it down on this instrumental. It's basketball and all its essences. It's full of pop culture references.
Okay.
Point guards to stretch fours and fives. The last Buffy episode, despite survive. Never mind, let me get on track. Houston had a good run, and a team was stacked. We had plans for the T-Wolves, y'all remember? Yeah. Quick question in sync, who's your favorite member? Oops, I did it again. Hold up, wait, best team on the court, probably Golden State.
Yeah.
Korean them, yeah, they out this world, but ask Ray is top five, he's saying the Spice Girls.
What's up, Internet? This is the Ray Ray is Fundamental Podcast, episode 107, recorded Wednesday, November the 21st, 2018. By the time you're listening to this, it's Thanksgiving, so happy Thanksgiving, people. Brought to you by RayRay.net. My name is Ray Ray. I know it's been a while since we've done a podcast, about a month, I think. Last episode being Mirren Fader from Bleacher Report. Again, check that out. And check previous episodes. Go to iTunes or rary.net/fun. There are archives of the old podcast. All 106 episodes of them that we've done. So, yeah, check those out. But anyway, lots have gone on since then. I turned 40 years old in the 15th, so happy birthday to me. The NBA season started in October 16, actually, and we did one podcast, like I said, with Mirren Fader, it's been a week old for the NBA season. Now it's about a month old. Lots going on there. Kemba Walker scored 60 points. The Warriors are struggling. The Memphis Grizzlies are actually now on top of the West because Portland lost, which was actually the loss by Portland actually happened after the podcast was recorded. So yeah, Memphis is number one. Toronto's number one. Milwaukee's number two in the East. Lakers are doing well. 10-7 with LeBron James. Jimmy Butler's in Philadelphia now, and he's helped them win games. Of course, there's a draw between Kevin Durant and Draymond Green, the Washington Wizards. Lots going on, so it is a great time to be an NBA fan. So, the basketball's great, the drama's great, just a lot of good stuff going on and off the court. So, yeah, I'm very definitely happy to be an NBA fan right about now. So, for this podcast, we have our old friend Rosalind Ross coming back to this podcast. As you know, she's an actress, model, yogi. I know she doesn't like me saying model, but yeah. Very talented woman. She's been on this podcast before. So yeah, we're going to talk about the Memphis Grizzlies, the NBA, a bit of football, you know, the usual sports talk. It's going to be awesome. So, before we do this interview, let me remind you that you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes or Stitcher or Android, Anchor, whatever podcast app you prefer. But yeah, do that. Rary is fundamental. Remember the podcast show, a podcast show name, actually. Follow me on Twitter at the No Look Pass. Follow the podcast Twitter at Rary is Fun. My voice is out. So let's go to do this. Rosalind Ross, right up next.
Hey guys, this is Delmi Rios from LA Sports Access, and you are listening to the Ray Ray is Fundamental Podcast.
Ray Ray is Fundamental Podcast, episode 107. My guest, she's an actress, she's a writer, she's a yogi. She doesn't want me to say this, but she's also a model. Good friend of ours, our Trinity, Rosalind R. Ross. What's up?
I love how everyone always loves to say she doesn't like for me to say this, but she's a model. But you guys still say it. It's so fun. How are you, Ray Ray?
I'm good. Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving. It's tomorrow. It'll be out tomorrow, this episode. But yeah, happy Thanksgiving. What you going to have for Thanksgiving?
Thank you.
What you going to have?
I think I'm having Chinese. Yeah. That's what I'm going. I mean, I'm having Chinese food tomorrow. That's what I'm doing. I've decided I want veggie fried rice, and I'm done.
That sounds still, it still sounds really good though, but all food sounds delicious right now anyway, so.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, wow.
You Happy belated birthday, Ray Ray.
Oh, thank you. It's nice to be 30 years old.
You can't let that get by.
It's nice to be 30.
Yeah.
Wow, it's been a while since we really talked on this podcast. I think it's been almost 2 years now. Time goes by so fast, but how have you been doing as of late?
Pretty well. Just, you know, going about the grind, trying mm-hmm. to keep up with all your awesomeness, trying to do some awesomeness on my end.
I don't know what awesomeness you're talking about. Like, just here, just doing things here and there and whatever, you know, just getting back from where I was last year, so, you know.
Yeah, well, that's, we're always just getting back, we're all always just getting back from something, yeah. So, mm-hmm. you know, that's the story of how life goes. So, yeah, I'm working my way through what's going to be pilot season pretty soon, so mm-hmm. I'm doing some auditions and seeing if I'll end up on a show or in a film sometime soon. Yeah.
Yeah, they're stupid if they don't let you in on a show, because you should always be on every show.
Oh, that's the problem.
So, working our way through, actually, the NBA season, which usually starts in, like, early November, but now it's getting earlier and earlier, and we're about a month into the season now. And I feel like this is, like, the most eventful first month of a season ever. Like, there's a lot going on in the NBA right now. For instance, Kevin Durant. Like,
yeah,
what is up with this guy? Seriously.
You know, and everybody, it's so interesting. First of all, the basketball part of it is pretty, you know, it's like a shining bright light to me right now, just what the Warriors look like in Steph's absence. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think I remember a long stretch, maybe, I can't remember if it was KD's first year with them or it was the second year, but there was a long stretch when Steph was out. And people were like, oh, they're fine. I'm just like, you know, that's a very different team without. And now they're on a stretch now where I forget how many they've lost in a row now, maybe four, something like that. And yeah. Everyone's like, oh, they look so different without Steph. And I'm like, yes, of course they do, because now it's back to what, you know, KD has probably forgotten what he used to have to do in OKC when people would just crowd him. Steph's not there to spread the defense. And I don't know, something about Steph, he just makes it run much more smoothly. Mm-hmm. I like them with the ball in his hands. I don't really like them having, I don't like it when KD has to run the offense. So that's my basketball stuff.
Yeah.
However, this Draymond thing is so intriguing. That little dust-up. People are giving Draymond a hard time about what he said. Certainly, he didn't have to use a derogative term. And certainly, he shouldn't have said anything within an earshot. But if he's got a problem with KD not sort of brushing off these, what are you going to do next year questions? I get it. I understand why he has a problem with that. I think KD should be fully committed to where they are now, and he can save that stuff for later. I don't think he should be talking about it right now. So I understand why that would upset Draymond, especially since he recruited KD to the team. All right, I'm off my soapbox.
Yeah. Well, I find these things funny because they're you know, how media is, or even players sometimes, we're just like, so what are you going to do next year? I don't even know what I'm going to do tomorrow.
Exactly.
It's so funny to me sometimes. Yeah, and I get this posturing and all that stuff, but, like, I can't even picture, like, we all have our goals of what we're going to do 5 years from now, but who knows what's going to happen next year or next month or next week, you know? So.
Exactly. And for people who are like, it's not that big of a deal, I'll just ask anyone to call up Chauncey Billups, Ben Wallace, Richard Hamilton. Like, that whole year, the season where they were going into their second championship year, and, I mean, second year playing for the championship, and that's when Larry Brown started his campaign to be like, oh, I mean, New York would be a dream job. And ultimately, those guys tried to pretend like it wasn't a distraction, but it was.
Yeah.
And they lost, and we barely talked about Larry Brown since. So, I get the concern about him doing better in fielding those questions. I mean, and Draymond's an emotional leader, so he got upset and things happen. But mm-hmm. KD is doing it. He's he's got an interesting thing happening right now. He just got fined the $25,000. I don't know what's he's seeming like angry man, maybe.
Yeah, like ever since he got to the Warriors, really. Here's the funny thing, and I was talking about this with someone on Twitter earlier today. It's like, we used to love Kevin Durant and Dwight Howard, and now they're two of the most reviled figures in the NBA. Like, how funny how that works, right?
It's so hilarious. Like, Dwight Howard was, like, the playful, lovable, he was Superman, like, everyone loved him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's almost like his mask came off, or his cape came off, better put. And he turned out to be, like, a normal, real person, and we were like, get this guy out of here. Now everyone hates him. Ever since we figured out that he really didn't want to stay in Orlando and we didn't like the way he did that. Mm-hmm. And now we're done with him. We broke up with him.
Yeah.
And we're slowly but surely breaking up with KD as well, which is weird. It seems a little early to break up with KD, but I think it's starting to happen.
On the other side, LeBron James, who was reviled in 2010, the decision and all that, and now everybody loves him. Are we fickle? What's going on here?
We're terribly fickle. That's the story of the fan. Don't you know? You know this by now.
Yeah.
You've been writing about sports forever. You know how it sways from end to end.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty, I mean, but LeBron has earned our reunion. Right? I mean, he's earned us getting back together with him.
Mm-hmm.
He's got the pool happening. He, you know, has definitely shown his teeth in some of the activism he's done over the last couple of years.
Right.
So, you know, he's getting out there earning his, and even when we were going to try, because we were definitely about to start being really critical of how the Lakers were looking to start the season and how that might not have been a good idea and all of that, and lo and behold, he turned that thing around too. Now the Lakers are coming together and he scored 50, and we're like, we love LeBron. Like, he just, he finds a way to always win back our hearts every single time. Every single time.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of coming back, how about them Grizzlies? They're second in the West. I don't think anyone pictured that. Maybe you did. I don't know, but
no, no. Please, we didn't know what we didn't picture that. And I'm still sitting here like our top two players haven't made it through a full season in like, I don't know, 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
So the jury's still out, but I am really thrilled with our, you know, return to grit and grind, like really being committed to doing what we do best. We had to fire two coaches to get back to it, which is ridiculous, I won't go into that. But, we're back on grit and grind, and it's where we need to be. Which is the complete opposite end of life with the rest of the league is on.
Right.
I think we got like the lowest in possessions per 48 minutes or something. I don't know what I heard on sports radio this morning, but we're definitely slowing the pace all the way down. But that's where we thrive. We've been thriving in that type of offense since Lionel Hollins. So we basically have to say, you know, we've lost a little bit of who orchestrated that. We don't have Zach anymore. We don't have Tony Allen. But still, we're still out there with our top two guys. So let's stick with what works. And it's working now. We just got to stay healthy. They got to prove they can do that for me. And then I'll be a little more optimistic.
Yeah, and the Grizzlies did have a couple of revelations this season so far. Jaren Jackson Jr., not a lot of people thought he'd be great in the NBA. But here he is. He's off to a great start, 13 points per game. And Garrett Temple, free agent, point guard, journeyman, here he is averaging 12 points a game. Like, what's going on here, you know? So, I mean, I'm happy for the Grizzlies. It's great. Definitely a pleasant surprise so far.
Yeah, well, we needed a surprise. Mm-hmm. Last year, we were in full tank mode. And, you know, it's like it's hard to even know whether we were trying to do it on purpose or whether it was just happening against our will. But it was happening. So we needed some pleasant surprises, and I'm glad we got those guys rolling. And again, you know, I mean, the healthy debate is one that every team has to face, like whether they can stay healthy down the stretch, and we're no different. But, you know, if one of our guys goes down, it pretty much ends it all. That's what happened last year when Conley went out. And
right.
We can't afford that again. So here's to good health for us for the rest of the season.
If anything, not just the Grizzlies are being a pleasant surprise in the West, but Portland's first, the Warriors are third, Clippers are fourth.
I know.
Like, and the Thunder are fifth. Like, this is pretty surprising to me.
Dude, the Thunder, they're having to adjust to Russell Westbrook coming back. Like, how about that as a surprise? It's like, oh, he goes out and we're like, they're done. And lo and behold, they managed to somehow stay above water. He comes back and they lose, and now they got to figure out, like, how to incorporate him into this new thing they've been doing to make sure they don't fall apart. And they're hanging on by a thread, bless their little hearts. Anything goes wrong, if they lay off defensively at all, I mean, which is, you know, the story of the league, but still, it feels like if one little thing goes awry, they're done. But, you know, who'd think we'd be having a conversation about Russell Westbrook coming back and them having to adjust to him being back in the offense to continue winning games?
Yeah.
Continue winning games. Crazy.
And even coming down to West, Sacramento is 9-8. The Spurs are 500. The Jazz are below 500. Like, we're 15, 16 games into the season, and if this continues, this is going to be a weird Western Conference.
It's going to be really weird.
Yeah.
It's going to be really, really, really weird. But you know it's not going to continue. I mean, you know, that's the whole thing. Like, but so really, for me, it's about trying to figure out who will, like, what's going to stick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean,
yeah.
Do you think the Blazers will continue to roll? Like, how are you feeling about that? How are you? I mean, that's probably the one that's most intriguing to me. It's because I always feel like the Blazers are almost there, and then something happens in the playoffs, and it's like, oh, no, they're not. They're not almost there. It's like some big revelation happens every season, and I'm wondering if that's going to be the same thing that happens this year or not. I can't tell, but I'm intrigued by their current position. I really am.
They were third last year, but three through six were all jumbled up together, like one game apart or something, and
yeah.
Then they lost to the Pelicans. Like, they got swept by the Pelicans, so... Like, that could happen again.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, oh, they're not. Oh, they just proved to me that they weren't.
Yeah.
They weren't who I thought they were.
Yeah, exactly. And if the Lakers make it, they're going to be dangerous because LeBron James can change everything. So it's going to be intriguing. But, you know, once this could be all mood if Stephen Curry comes back and they win 65 games
yeah.
or something. So
the thing that I find very interesting about the Lakers, they've got Tyson Chandler and LeBron and Rondo,
mm-hmm.
who would love to, like, win it now, of course. They've all won before.
Yeah.
And they're older. And they would love to win it now.
Mm-hmm.
Then they got all these babies, like these NBA babies, who probably think they have forever to win it, you know. But somehow they've made it work. Like, even in LeBron's 50-point outing the other day, you really could still see he was orchestrating the offense. Like, he didn't go completely ball hawk. Like, he was still trying to get other people involved. And so I find that promising because, again, they're such a young team outside of those three guys, really. So it's nice to see that he still has some level of awareness of the fact that, you know, he's got to bring these other guys along because he's not going to hit 50 all the time and he's not going to be able to do it by himself. So, you know, again, just one more reason for us to ride the LeBron train. Like, see, he's still trying to get other guys involved, even with 50 points.
Yeah.
So, we like him.
And it's weird, too, because it feels like he's going in cruise control. Like, you just see him, and he's casually bringing the ball up, and suddenly puts up a three and makes it. And it's like he's almost going to half speed. If he's going to full speed, imagine how... I mean, we already seen it, but, like, God, it's terrifying still, even at 34 years old.
Yeah, because it's like he's finally... Not finally, but... He has definitely gained a very healthy respect for his outside shooting, like what it means to stand out on the perimeter and get these shots going. And he can also still, like, embarrass you at the rim with some crazy hard dunk.
Yeah.
But it's nice to see that his game has rounded out in this way because we get to see this far more thrilling version of him. And particularly with this team, it's needed. So it's just kind of intriguing to watch. It does seem like it's slow motion, but it's like, oh, he's not running straight down the middle and power dunking all the time. Like, it's not all power. It's a little finesse, too. So it's cool to see it. It's cool to watch.
Hey, it's Jess Kreinschmidt. You're listening to the Ray Ray is Fundamental podcast.
not only does the West have intriguing things going on, but the East obviously too. Like, first of all, we just saw the news of Markel Fultz. Well, every day there's news about Markel Fultz. It's the strangest thing, I think, in the last few years about how his career's been going. Like, he's got mysterious injuries, and now there's the rumor about him wanting a change of scenery, and his shot's so different from where he was in college. He might have mental problems. What's going on here, you think?
It's really unfortunate because it also is a reflection that, I mean, he was number one, right? Wasn't he number one?
Yes.
Yeah, so it's kind of also, like, it's sad on both ends to see that they don't or haven't or didn't figure out. I don't even know. Like, somehow they never figured out what to do with him. It's like we're watching a saga on both ends where he obviously, I mean, I feel bad for him because certainly this isn't what he dreamed of when he wanted to go to the NBA, and it certainly wasn't what he pictured, I'm sure, after being chosen number one.
Yeah.
So it's like it's a tough situation to watch on both ends. So it's almost like I'm rooting for them to figure out how to part ways, and then maybe we can finally see who he is, and they can continue to thrive without him like they've been doing. I mean, he's been like a secondary thought for them. Maybe not even a secondary thought.
Yeah.
And, it's like watching two people who need to get divorced, but they won't, and so we're just watching them stay in the same house and get mad at each other about all... I mean, it's like weird.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but it's like, poor baby. Like, you know, this isn't how he pictured his NBA life happening after going number one. And I don't think it's what they thought when they got him. But somehow this marriage just has not worked out at all. It's very strange. Very strange.
And the way he plays, the way he shoots is still mysterious to me, because he looked like he had a great shot in college. And then we see him, and he's like, playing patty cake on the free throw line. I don't know if you noticed that, but like,
he's passing
the ball around and he's just like chucking it up. Like, what the heck happened to his shot? It's so weird. Like,
but was he working with did he start working with a guy to fix his shot or something? It seemed like there was a story about him. Am I making this up?
No, you're not.
Okay. They're like, somebody was working with him, and it's almost like it messed him up more, or like was so disorienting that now he can't figure out what his original shot was. And I've heard stories about guys like this too, but you mostly hear about it in college, where there are guys who develop bad shot form in high school, and then they're excellent scorers, but when they get to college, they're like, no, we got to fix that, because you're not going to always be able to count on that little weird shot you have. But this was really the first time I heard about it at the NBA level, and now it's like he's completely thrown off from how to shoot the ball at all. I don't know. It's very strange.
It is strange, and his shot looked perfectly fine in college. Yeah. That's the strange thing. And I met the guy, Drew Hanlon, well-renowned trainer. I've met the guy before, and he's mentioned...
Oh.
Yeah. He's mentioned that he may not be completely healthy. So that's the reason.
Wow.
But, you know, there seems to be, like, miscommunication going on between the Sixers and Fultz, saying, you got to do it with this trainer and this trainer and this trainer. And I feel like he's listening to too many people, and it's throwing him off.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm not a psychologist, but...
I know, but certainly one is needed in this set of circumstances. They need a psychologist. They need, like, a mediator. They need, like, a litigator. They need a bunch of people in the middle of this thing to figure out what the relationship is going to be going forward and how they can get out of it without, like, hating the world on both ends, with the team and with him. Because it's just, it's terrible. It's terrible.
And it's
for
like,
a number one pick, it's really terrible.
Yeah, and it's like, I don't blame the Sixers for picking them number one. Like, he looked great in college from what I've seen.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
Something is missing here. The Wizards, they got a lot going on too. Like,
oh my God.
Yeah, so.
They too are like, yeah, again, that's another marriage made in hell. Like,
And they're willing, apparently they're willing to trade, like, they're going all out. Like, they want some peace, and they're willing to make some trades if necessary. And they'll take it all the way to Beal or Wall. Like, they don't care.
Yeah.
Because Wall's contract is a monstrosity.
Yeah.
So,
you know,
they gotta figure out something, because his play, even though his numbers don't look bad, but they're definitely not looking good this year, largely because of what he's doing on the court. And they are just as dysfunctional of a mess. It's really bad.
The terrible thing is that John Wall's new contract doesn't kick in until next year. So, like, that's and he's going to get paid about $40 million a year.
That's insane.
Right?
It's insane to think about that.
Yeah.
And I know they want to, you know, they want to do something. I don't know. I mean, I was reading something earlier just to get prepared to chat with you, and there are, like, I guess some rumors of maybe Wall to Phoenix or maybe Wall to New Orleans, I think I saw. And it's like, who wants to take that on, though? I mean, he's still this is somebody who definitely is still an amazing player and can be, you know, an all-star. So it's not like you're getting a bust, but that money, you know, that money makes you take at least a third and a fourth double take to be like, okay, are we going to really do this?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out for them, but they're in such a mess right now.
Yeah, so from what I read the last couple of days, in practice, there was altercations between John Wall, Jeff Green, Austin Rivers, Bradley Beal, the coach even. it's such a mess.
I read about one with Austin Rivers.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't read about the other ones. Are you kidding me? That's everybody. That's the whole thing. That's the coach.
I didn't mention Dwight Howard, which is funny, right? Because Dwight Howard is, like, reviled everywhere, and he's not even a problem right now. It's crazy.
It's not even his fault.
Yeah. You know, part of me was rooting for the Clippers to hold on to that win against the Wizards last night, because if the Clippers won, that team is breaking up. Like, that's it. They're done. And they managed to come back from 24 down to win this game. So it's almost, it's like they got a reprieve for like 2 more weeks or something. I shouldn't wish that, but
you want them to be done, right? Right.
Yeah, it just looks really bad though right now. It just does. So
it does. Yeah. It really, really does.
Yeah. And the funny thing is that like 2 seasons ago, they were on the verge of the East Finals until Kelly Olynyk had a career best Game 7 that prevented him from going there. So I don't blame him for breaking.
Isn't it not amazing?
Yeah.
How quickly this thing turned.
As I've seen the kids say, life moves fast or something like that, right?
So. Life moves very fast. Ask the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Oh, good grief. they're going to the Lakers in a bit. LeBron's homecoming. They're 2-13. Ugh. That's rough.
Do you feel that they're tanking on purpose? Because I kind of feel like they're tanking on purpose.
I mean,
they're certainly not. They don't have LeBron, and that's a big deal. But are they this bad?
I feel like they started to tank once they started like 0-6 or whatever. It's like, oh, okay, we're not that good. Probably.
Yeah.
They figured it out there.
Right about then, they figured it out. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Kevin Love's not playing right now. They fired Tyronn Lue. J.R. Smith wants out.
And he said he thinks they're tanking.
Yeah, so that's pretty much it. Rebuilding mode all over again. The Knicks are terrible, 4-14. The Hawks, well, they're expected to be terrible, 3-14. Any surprises in the East that you're seeing right now? The Bucks, they're number 2. The Raptors are certainly number 1 right now.
It's so hard for me to get excited about that. Because that's another... The Raptors and the Blazers feel the same to me in that every year they look like something and then... And it's more significant on the Raptors end because they
Were they the number one seed last year?
Yeah.
Or a number two?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
so
yes.
Like, it's so much more significant with them because they sort of always hover around one and two, at least the last couple of seasons, and then it's like, what the heck just happened?
Right.
But the Bucks, I love what's going on with the Bucks right now. I am surprised that I was worried about that Jimmy Butler to the 76ers situation. I'm still kind of moody about it because Ben Simmons, I don't want it to stunt
his growth.
Yeah, his growth, and him without the ball is different. I mean, it's very different
right.
than him trying to cut and flat and move around. Like, so I'm a little worried, but I can appreciate that it's better than way better than I thought it was going to be, because I didn't really see how Jimmy Butler was going to work in there.
Right.
But somehow it's working out. I just hope it's not to the detriment of Ben Simmons, because I like that little guy. He's a player.
You know, it's funny. That's another person that we didn't think that we'd sort of kind of like people would hate or whatever. Jimmy Butler. Yeah, he was most improved player. Like, he came like number 30 pick. No one thought of him as anything really. And then he rose up to the ranks in the Bulls, became an All Star, most improved player, became a top 15 player. Like, that's a great story. And then
it is.
And then here he is causing like drama in Chicago and Minnesota, possibly Philly, and now people don't like him. It's so funny.
How quickly we turned on Jimmy Butler.
Right.
Like, he was about to become that guy where we're like, he's drama guy. He shows up at teams and makes a mess. And I thought it was going to happen here, but lo and behold, they're 3-1, 4-1 with him or something, and yeah. It seems to be working out. So I don't know. But we definitely are kind of so-so on him right now.
Yeah.
People are on the verge of really, really, really disliking Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
He's right there.
And I've seen people kind of crap on Donovan Mitchell, too, because they're not having a good year right now. And he was, like, the darling last year that, you know, they should have been, quote-unquote, rookie of the year, because Ben Simmons was not a rookie, per se. And then here
in
Utah's 8-9 right now, and they're just kind of like, what's wrong with Donovan Mitchell? We don't like him anymore.
Yep. It does not take long. Can you imagine if that happened at your, like, if you had a regular job and that happened at your job? Like, after 4 months there, everyone decides, you completely go from, like, a superstar employee to, like, we hate you, like, within the span of 4 months.
Yeah.
And you basically are kind of the same person. Like, nothing major has changed in who you are. But we hate you now? Damn, that's got to be tough.
You're sucking up to the boss. I don't like you. Like, I didn't do anything. You know?
I didn't do anything. What are you saying?
Yeah, exactly.
But you're done. Mm. Like, your reputation is done.
Yeah.
You're already finished.
Imagine if we apply this the stuff we do to sports to real life, right? Like, hey, so what are you going to do next year? We want to know.
Tell us right now. Right now. What is your plan? What will you be doing in 365 days? What exactly? Where will you be? Mm-hmm. What will you be doing? Who will you be talking to?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What? Have no clue.
Exactly. I even, like, say Lakers fans who are like, yeah, we have 16 titles. Yeah, I was great in eighth grade. No, man.
Yeah. 12, 13, 14, 15 years ago, I was awesome.
Yeah.
Right? Of course I was.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's such a little crazy world. It's not the real world at all. And for one, and we think nothing of, like, this stuff. But yeah, tell us all about what you'll be doing next year in 5 years.
Exactly.
And it's like, wait, we feel like we're allowed to do that. We never stop to think how ridiculous it is until somebody does it to us. And it's like, oh, now I get it.
Yeah, this entire thing's weird. We're watching a bunch of tall guys putting a ball through a hoop, you know, like
that's
sport right there, right? So I don't know.
And you'll never go anywhere and see that many tall guys in a room ever, ever.
Yeah.
No other place will that happen to you in your life, except for if you are like, they need to make that a joke. You're standing around. You're in a room with 10 dudes who are taller than 6 feet, where are you?
Yeah.
And you, somebody's got to guess that you're at an NBA game. Because otherwise, that doesn't happen anywhere else.
I'll even go as far as saying, since I lived in Portland for a year, I'll even go as far as saying, wow, I think the Portland Trailblazers are the only black guys in Portland.
I would think so. I got to say yes to that.
Yeah.
And they're tall. Like, there's no hiding.
Yeah.
Right? So tall and black in Portland. There's no escaping the attention of that.
I spotted Nicholas Batum at a Whole Foods, and it's like he stood out so much in Portland.
There's no ignoring him. Oh, no man. No ignoring him.
Really quick, what did you think of that Rams-Chiefs game that went like 1,000 points in a football game?
And what's the record, like the most points scored by a team that didn't win?
Yeah.
That is what I find like hilarious. Like, first team to score over 50 that didn't win the game.
Yeah, it's
what
great.
What was that? Like,
it's crazy. It's like, what's going on? It's like wide open football. I haven't been interested in football in a few years. Like, I'll still watch the Super Bowl. But that might have been the most interesting football regular season game in, like, years for me.
Had to be. It's fascinating. And it seemed like it wouldn't end. And it was like, it won't end and they won't stop scoring.
Yeah.
Like, that's, I just remember saying, it won't end and they won't stop scoring. It won't end and they won't stop scoring. Who's going to win? And yeah. Now, again, you score. And can you imagine going over 50 points and you don't win the game in a freaking football game?
Right. It's like... It's like scoring 150 points in a basketball game. You're still not winning.
I know, right? So in football, I always, you know, the running joke, like, because I really haven't watched football either, but, I, you know, once the score gets to be, like, the deficit gets to be too much for the losing team, the one thing you know is that you're not going to go on a run, right? Mm-hmm. It's not basketball. Like,
yeah.
You're not going to go on a run and win the game.
Right.
But... I was telling someone, like, Friday morning. I mean, I was telling someone after that game, I'm like, that's a game where you could have legitimately said that these teams were going on separate runs. Like, every now and then they were on a run, and they both got above 50.
Yeah.
Crazy.
14 touchdowns. That's crazy. Never seen that many touchdowns in a game. That's insane.
Well, and since you tell me, was it, like, more offense or lack of defense? Like, which one was it? Like, they weren't playing defense, or were they really, like, just offensively brilliant? What was happening, you think?
I think it's both.
Really?
I feel like it's
so
both.
So the anomaly continues. Like, yeah. It just gets more of an, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Sports are weird. All right.
That's got to be the tagline.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's about it, so go ahead and advertise your socials, your website, whatever you need to advertise. Go ahead.
Well, thank you. You can find me on Twitter and on IG at Roslyn R. Ross, and actually, Facebook the same. Yeah, that's it.
That's it?
I'm easy that way. Yeah.
So, yeah, follow her, R Trinity, R3, that's Roslyn Ross. I'm R2. Ray. I need to go to sleep. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. And thank you so much, Ross, for coming on.
Thanks, Ray, for having me. Talk soon. Game over, yeah!
Hashtag blame Ray.